Chapter 9. Quarantined. Olvo Sharna stood before the sealed door of Deck 13. It was a colossal thing of dense grey metal and pistons, and she gazed up at it like a stranger at a fortress gate, seeking refuge. Except there was no refuge beyond the gate, and its purpose was to keep people in, not out.
"How long have they been in there?"
asked the armoured ultramarine standing next to her. He was a sergeant, Pilliam, if she remembered rightly. Sharna had little to do with the Space Marines. As quartermaster, strictly speaking, she was part of the Departamento Munitorum and responsible for the mortal crew aboard the ship. That included equipment and weapons, and also rations, which were of chief concern during the current crisis. The Adeptus Astartes dealt with such matters internally. To be up close to one was rare. She could count the instances of it on one hand, and that included the recent conference with Captain Sicarius. This one was different to most of the others she had met. More like Lord Helicus, a new breed, an evolution. Better at killing, she supposed. The Adeptus Astartes were conditioned to channel their emotions and keep them in check until they could be useful. This one, however, radiated irritation. She wondered if he considered this particular duty beneath him, or perhaps he considered it a form of punishment.
23 weeks, Sharna replied,
her nose prickling at the heat stink of Pilliam's armour and the heady aroma of the lacquers and lapping powder he must apply to each plate as well as his weapons. One thing she did know about Space Marines, they were fastidious when it came to their equipment.
"They are fed?" he asked.
"Of course,"
she said, instantly regretting the tone of her voice, which suggested the question was not a sound one, and the answer to it therefore obvious.
"We also maintain a regular contact,"
she added quickly, hoping to cover her mistake. Even without the helmet, she found Pilliam unreadable. He had a fierce appearance, shaven-haired with a dark growth of beard concealing the lower half of his face. He appeared youthful, which was unusual for one of his kind, who in their limited experience were usually crag-faced, scarred and grizzled, but he had hard eyes. He looked uncompromising, she decided, and seemed oblivious to the fact that she had probably just insulted his intelligence. The other one, the one who waited a little way back in the shadows, had the rough, resolute features she had come to expect, but he wasn't talking at present.
"Whom do you speak to?"
asked Pilliam. His eyes never left the door, as if all of his attentions were focused on this one spot, because it was the most likely place that danger would appear.
"Major Ron."
"He is a punctual man, this Ron."
"Every week, by the hour, by the minute. He's never missed a scheduled supply drop."
"Until now,"
said Pilliam pointedly.
"Until now."
"How many?"
"Almost 100 men, a full platoon."
"Any reported casualties?"
"Not that I am aware of."
"And the reason for the quarantine order?"
"Self-imposed by the commanding officer. Spates of mania, catatonic behaviour, some psychosis, though to be honest, it's not really my field. They were involved in the lower deck incursion a few weeks ago."
Up until the most recent attack on the ship, the lower deck incursion had been the single worst and most penetrative assault the Emperor's will had suffered. Hundreds had lost their lives, and several important shipboard systems had been destroyed. Rhone's men had fought in the engagement, albeit peripherally, and the trauma of it had inflicted psychological damage. Rhone had simply done what any good officer would have done, made a hard choice, and quarantined his platoon.
"Have any tried to get out?" asked Pilliam.
"Not recently, though no one is getting through this door without industrial-grade plasma cutters, and even then that's the work of hours, not minutes. We'd know if they had tried."
"How so?"
asked Pilliam.
"I beg your pardon, my lord?"
"This deck has suffered power outages. Visual surveillance has been dark for weeks. How would you know if they had tried to escape or not?"
I don't suppose...
Sharna was sweating and nervously glancing up at the monstrous Astartes, who stared coolly.
The door has not been tampered with, so I think we can assume...
Then you assume they have not tried to escape?
Shana swallowed loudly.
Yes, of course, that's it. Confinement was for their own safety, she added. There's no contagion here.
It's a disease of the mind, Quartermaster. I expected not.
Ideas can be contagious.
Pilliam turned his hard gaze in Shana's direction, as if weighing the meaning of her words. She froze, imagining the ice creeping up her spine to be literal. He turned away, allowing her to breathe again, and murmured something into his vox that Shana didn't catch, before declaring,
"Open the gate!"
His brethren took a step forwards at the same time, and she could feel the tension ratchet up by several degrees. The fear instinct in her brain kicked in, that animal imperative that results in either fight or flight. Shana doubted she was suited to either, and was glad of the small bodyguard of armsmen she had been afforded. It wasn't that she didn't trust the Ultramarines. She just didn't know or understand them. Certainly, 10 armed and armoured Adeptus Astartes would prove a more effective deterrent than 100 armsmen, but she felt comfort in the presence of her own kind, even if there were only 5 of them in carapace and flak vests. Shana nodded and went to input the access codes that would unlock the gate. She caught the faintest whir of movement, the micro-tremors of power-armored servos tensing for immediate and explosive activation.
"Secucius!"
she heard Pilliam say into the vox, just loud enough for Shana to make out the name of the other sergeant. The second 5-man squad of Ultramarines in the background moved up to support the first. They occupied a slightly refused position as Pilliam and his squad took point. She assumed Secucius's squad was there for her protection. The gate took a few seconds to move, and even then the motion was slow. Pneumatic pressure hissed and ghosted in the air as it was expelled. The reek of stagnation and other less salubrious aromas came with it, as the atmosphere of the sealed deck spilled out. Supplies had previously been delivered through maintenance hatches and via tracked servitor units. A recently revived pick screen that provided a view into the deck showed a grainy black-and-white threshold, and the supply crate unclaimed and untouched. As the gate rolled aside, its pneumatic locks now fully disengaged, that self-same supply crate was revealed in full colour and clarity. Dingy lighting flickered over the scene, kept that way so as to not to aggravate the warp sickness that had befallen the entirety of Major Roan's regiment, the 45th Mordian. Sepulchral as the vista and overall atmosphere appeared, Shana felt an instant prickling of apprehension at the revealed stillness. A weird, crepuscular quality had settled over the deck, the air musty and softened by a sweaty fog. Poised at the threshold, Pilliam listened. Shana could hear nothing beyond the usual settling of metal and the groaning shift of the deck itself. She assumed the Adeptus Astartes had greater aural acuity, and that when Pilliam ordered the advance, that he had discerned nothing untoward. As they walked slowly beyond the threshold, Shana reflected on how the presence of the Ultramarines had quelled discontent in the lower decks almost immediately. Order had been restored, and with it, proper function. It came as no surprise to her that this was accomplished through fear and the salient reminder that all must do their duty and make the appropriate sacrifice if anyone was to survive. How that situation could be maintained in the absence of the Space Marines, she did not know. But she chose to focus on the present. Let such problems be consigned to the uncertain future.
"Seal the gate, Quartermaster,"
said Pilliam, once they were all inside.
"I beg your pardon, sire?"
"No one gets in or out without my sanction," he said firmly,
and Shana had wit enough to obey without further question. Though the thought of being locked in here terrified her, even with all of her bodyguards. She re-engaged the locks and watched as the heavy portal rolled back into position, sealing with a dolorous clang.